Welcome, everybody, to Tuesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you. First of all, we thank you for Stephen Strang. The insights and ideas and concepts that you have given him as a Christian journalist, a man that can investigate with an open heart and an open mind and deal with the absolute facts and truths. We praise you for his life. And we thank you for this broadcast and the help that the people need all over the United States. And the people that are watching this around the world, because every country on this planet depends on how this country makes it or doesn't. And we thank you and praise you for it. The best is yet to come. I believe that. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stephen Strang, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so pleased. This 50th anniversary, 50 years in ministry just a few years ago, the project that you brought to me and brought to this ministry, and the Kenneth Copeland Word of Faith Study Bible, Charisma Media, Charisma House book group. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
This was a work that I'd always dreamed of, because I'd always had notes in this Bible here, but this one is a commentary, and I love it.
I love it too. I read it every day. I read it yesterday.
I'm indebted to you for having the God idea to do it. And I know when Stephen and his crew came down to talk to us about doing it, there wasn't any question whether we were going to do it. Let's just say, when are we going to do this? It was not if, it was when. Just the idea set me on fire. And I wanted you to know how much I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
I enjoy it.
People, you know me as a journalist, but I'm also a publisher, and we publish the Modern English Version of the Bible. And one of the crowning highlights of my entire life was publishing that Bible.
Oh, thank you.
I really believe that. You know, what is better to publish than the Word of God?
Yes, amen.
And to be able to put it in a format. A lot of publishing houses would not have had the vision to have done it that way, or they would have said, you know, you got to do it this way or that way. It was whatever Brother Copeland wanted to do, and we just tried to make it happen.
I'll tell you, it just blessed us, and just the feel, I love Bibles, and this thing feels good. Anyway, I love it. Thank you, sir. We're discussing this 2020 election, of course. And persecution has always come primarily from bad government. I mean, you go, well, God's people have been persecuted by bad government. That's the reason for the United States. I mean, it was bad government that pushed people over here to risk their very lives, and a lot of them didn't make it, to get out from under bad government that hated God. Now, that government claimed to love God, and here I have in my possession, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. But it was not the people, it was the government.
And that's still true today.
It's true today.
Where Christians are persecuted, and there's many Christians persecuted all over the world.
And it's
with totalitarian governments, leftist governments, socialist governments. And, you know, Donald Trump has actually lobbied on behalf of religious freedom in different parts of the world. You know,
I noticed that.
He put Senator Sam Brownback as the ambassador for the international religious freedom. We're the only country that has an ambassador for that. He made an historic speech at the United Nations last fall. It was so good, I actually put it at the back of the book as an index. It is just a wonderful articulation of how important religious freedom is, not only in the United States, but around the world. Remember that missionary, Andrew Brunson, that was in Turkey? And a lot of people don't know this because, you know, they don't play it up in the news media, of course. But he's a spirit-filled missionary. He's one of us.
Praise God.
You know, he wasn't just some, I mean, it's horrible for any missionary to be persecuted, but you know that people were just praying to get him out. And any other president, any other State Department would have let that poor man rot in jail.
Yeah.
You know,
they
would have done a little bit of diplomatic, whatever they do. Donald Trump made it an international issue. He put tariffs and things on Turkey that made their currency plummet, their stock market plummet. They were going like, Uncle, you know,
yeah.
Here, take your missionary. Lift these sanctions that we put on them. And
does that remind you of a certain king that had a certain woman that was the wife of Abraham? Get that woman out of here.
That's exactly what happened. And 24 hours, in 24-hour period, Andrew Brunson went from being in a jail to being at the White House.
Isn't that...
Met with President President Trump, and at the end, he asked the president, while the TV cameras were rolling, if he could pray for him. He got on his knees, put his hand
Wasn't
on him...
Wasn't that a scene?
...and prayed that God would fill him with the Holy Spirit. That's such a bold prayer. And, you know, Donald Trump did not do that to curry favor. He already had the Christian vote, if you know what I mean. But it was a principle. He believes in it. He really believes in it.
Stephen, the man has said over and over and over, if it's the right thing to do, do it. Well, he's a billionaire. He's not used to thinking, do we have the money? He's used to thinking, I don't care what it takes. Let's get the man out of there. Now, if I have to put the twist on those people, just twist it on. Well, they might attack you. Well, bring it on. Then when you do that, they don't.
They don't.
No bully ever takes the challenge.
And Donald Trump is strong. He can stand up to these bullies. Almost nobody else does. And he is attacked every single day. It's amazing. I believe that there's got to be some kind of hedge of protection around him from the Lord.
Yeah, you know it is.
I mean, just every single day it's something new. And, you know, you would know better than I do because you've been with him more times. I interviewed him once and talked to him on the telephone once. But you've met with him and, you know, he just seems happy. You know, like he doesn't have a care in the world, and yet you know that all the pressures of life are on top of him. I try to go into this in the book because, you know, the media has created a caricature of Donald Trump. In fact, when I met him in the 2016 election and interviewed him, I rather expected him to be kind of the brusque person that we see on the TV.
He's not at all.
Not at all. He was polite. He was respectful. I had a certain length of time. I had my questions ready. In fact, you gave me one of the questions. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
I was writing. I said, I'm interviewing Donald Trump. And I asked several people. I asked Governor Mike Huckabee as well. And I asked him your question. And but he was respectful. He was soft-spoken. And I write about this in the book, God, Trump in the 2020 election, to tell what he's really like. And I interview people like Paula White-Cain and others who know him very well. Mike Evans says that he walks around saying thank you every other word in just his conversation. I write about how he plays chess with Barron when he has time in the White House. I mean, just things that you don't, you know, some glimpses into what he's really like. Then he met with the ministers, you and Gloria were there, where he had a state dinner.
Yes.
Never in the history has there been a state dinner for Christian leaders.
Yeah.
And then he turns over the pulpit, which is a pretty brave thing to do, and you got a room full of...
everybody laughed. He said, Now, just take your time. Anybody that wants to give, and everybody kind of laughed. He said, well, not too much time.
And then he also, so I think that even that shows a certain amount of humility, a certain interest in learning from other Christian leaders. But when they asked him, one of the people asked him, and you would remember better than I do, although I document this in the book, how did he want to be remembered? He said he wants to be remembered as the president that prays more than any other president.
That's what he said.
Which you would never, never expect Donald Trump to say. And whether or not he prays more than the fact that he would even think about it, I think is pretty significant. And it also is a little glimpse that there's a lot of prayer going on when the cameras aren't around.
That's right.
And
when we walked into that meeting in Trump Tower, Gloria and I were sitting right at the end of the table there. He just walked by us. Well, I'd never met him. He said, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, I watch you on television all the time, and just kept going. I said, what?
You know, a lot of people don't know this, but he has said similar things to Jim Baker, who would have thought. He watches David Jeremiah. And I really think that it was Christian television, him sitting late at night watching Paula White.
That's what got his attention.
Got his attention.
Watching her.
And he called her up and he said that she had the it factor. You know how somebody has it?
Well, yeah, he's a television guy.
Yeah, he knows that. He's very canny on those kinds of things. And Ford and started a relationship. And I've known Paula for years. I knew her back in that era. I remembered in conversation her telling how this celebrity had called her ministry office. I mean, I just remember it because it was just kind of odd. You know, little did I know that a friendship would develop and that she would help, I guess, disciple him. But it showed that there was something going on in here. He became more serious about life. He went from being pro-abortion to pro-life. He started thinking about what he wanted to do, you know, whatever years he had on earth. And he ended up being president of the United States. I guess when you earn that much money as a billionaire, there's only so many more buildings you can build. And I really believe that God raised him up. I really do. In fact, that's why I wrote my first book, God and Donald Trump, because we covered that election. And there are prophecies that he would win against all odds. And all this kind of stuff, and it was and then he won. The prophecies came true, and it was an untold story. And in the past, as a publisher, we'll have an idea for a book, and we'll hire a writer. Well, in this case, because I had interviewed him, and because I had been all involved, I wanted to write it myself, and that was the first book, to try to tell the untold story of how God used this unlikely billionaire and raised him up. And you know, you've heard them this comparison. He was raised up like King Cyrus.
Yes.
Cyrus was a pagan king who God used to get the Jews back to Jerusalem. And God used Donald Trump, this carnal billionaire who sometimes tweets things that make us cringe, but used him to get the embassy from Tel Aviv back to Jerusalem.
Right.
Just kind of like, kind of Cyrus. In fact, Jonathan Cahn, you know, the Messianic rabbi who wrote The Harbinger, writes about all these comparisons in some of his books about how the Jews were in Babylon exactly 70 years, and then Truman was like Cyrus, you know, recognizing Israel. And then exactly 70 years later, Trump moves the embassy and he finds all this significance. And I actually tapped Jonathan Cahn in my book because he's got a gift and insights beyond anything I've ever seen.
He really does.
But I tried to pull out some of these things to show the Christian reader that it's not, we have to understand things. And it's not just saying, well, I like this cable news network because it's more conservative than this one or whatever. To understand what God is doing. And there are foreshadowing in the Bible of things, Cyrus being one of them. But also Jonathan Cahn shows that when it was Ahab and Jezebel, who are the most wicked king and queen ever in Israel history, who caused them to sacrifice their children to Baal. Doesn't that sound like abortion?
Mm-hmm.
A very powerful husband, wife. Never in Israel history had a queen been that strong. Never in American history had any first lady been as strong as Hillary Clinton. I mean, these parallels are uncanny. And then there is an uncouth person that nobody ever heard of who came in called Jehu. Yeah. And Jehu is the one who got Israel back to serving the one true God. And so Jonathan Cahn sees that there is a similarity to Jehu as well. But isn't that good to see that we can see a foreshadowing in the Bible? But you know, we do that in other ways. Didn't people say that Martin Luther King was like Moses leading his children to freedom? Yeah. And other things like that, or maybe somebody would follow God and they would say, well, he's like Abraham, or God raised somebody up like Joseph or like an Esther. We use it, but never before with the president. I've never heard any of this with any of our presidents. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important that we understand this. Now, can we start a new denomination with a new theology? I think not. But it should make us go, I wonder what God is at work.
The other two times that it happened, one was Abraham Lincoln, the other was Ronald Reagan. And each one of these men changed things.
They absolutely did.
Because they didn't know anything about government. Now, Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer. He was not a president. Politics was not so much the thing with him. It was slavery that was the thing with him.
That's right.
It was the moral purpose behind what he was doing. Ronald Reagan is the same, basically the same thing. But never, never in as critical a time, well, except Lincoln, of course, but never at such a critical time as this, and never to this degree. Because this man thinks he's a billionaire. Ronald Reagan thought he was president. And Gloria said to me, she said, well, Ronald Reagan's an excellent actor, and all he had to do was act like a good president. And he was. Well, yeah, okay, come on.
The great communicator.
Yes, sir. He played the part. Mm-hmm. So this man is playing the part of a billionaire running a business. He's used to being boss. He's not used to people telling him what to do. And he's used to negotiating with people that change nations and control things. And
the globalists, we call them. Yeah. And that's really the struggle here.
Yeah.
Everything else can kind of be traced back to that, and that's a one world government, which the Bible talks about. We have to wonder what's really going on.
You know, Stephen, now my dad was a world-class salesman and negotiator. And my dad was a very kind man. But I learned a lot from my dad. And I'm watching Donald Trump do the same thing, and everybody's saying, he called Erdogan a good guy. You don't call a guy a bum and then go try to negotiate with him. Yeah. That's stupid. You don't come out and say the guy's a murderer and then go have a negotiation meeting with him. No, you call him a nice guy. And then you get in a room with him and you put the screws to
him. Right.
But that's negotiation. He's, and politicians don't know how to do that.
Right. But he's not a politician.
No, he's not.
He's a businessman and he's a great leader. And
he's about as diplomatic as a black bear. Diplomacy just doesn't enter into his thinking because that's not the way he was raised. And I'm not saying that that's all bad. But there had to be somebody trained a lifetime, his dad coming up with nothing and teaching his son how to live in that world. And his dad told him, when you go to the job, don't talk to the foreman. He'll tell you whatever he wants you to know. Go talk to the bricklayer. Go talk to the guy that's got a wheelbarrow in his hand. Yeah. and he'll tell you what's actually going on and you can fix it. That's what he's doing now.
You're right. And you know, his dad was a great man, and his dad had a big influence on him. And I go into this in the book. He was raised a Presbyterian. They went to church every Sunday. As a young adult, he went to Norman Vincent Peale's church.
Yes, he did.
And Norm, I had the privilege of meeting him, and I believe he was a great man.
I do too.
A lot of us Pentecostals kind of look down on people, but you know, he loved Jesus. He really did. But he said, you can believe and you can do things and you can kind of see his influence in Donald Trump.
Now, those of you that are way too young to know who he is, he wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And boy, it started out in Reader's Digest and it just went wildfire. He said, the working title of my book was The Power of Faith, but if I'd have said faith, nobody would have read it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also in that era, and it's still true in a lot of places, a lot of the Christians were like doom and gloom and negative and small thinking and legalistic. And he was saying you need to think positive and, you know, and it was his way of saying faith.
Get out of negative thinking. And did you ever notice Mr. Trump does not talk about negative things? Everything is great. We're going to do this. Great. It's great. It's been great. It's going to be greater. And everything is on the up. It's on the rise. He never gripes about anything. He makes fun of a lot of stuff, but he never gripes about anything. Now, my being a Reformed showman, that's what I studied as, you know, that's what I wanted to be. And I watch his stage plan. He starts off funny, funny, funny. He does funny stuff.
I enjoy watching his rallies. They're just fun. Good entertainment.
Yeah. And Democrats can't get a crowd, but people just fall all over themselves just to get in them. Not to hear him, to watch him. He's a show. But then he gets down to business.
And getting back to how he was raised, his mother was really the strong Christian of the family. She was raised in she was Scottish, so she was raised a Presbyterian in Scotland in a very conservative strain. And her family's from the Hebrides. You've heard of the Hebrides.
Yes.
Because there was a great revival in 1948 to 51 called the Hebrides Revival. And there's been stories that his mother was involved in the Hebrides Revival, but she wasn't because she'd moved to America about 15 years before. But her extended family were all impacted by the Hebrides Revival.
It had an effect on her through them and the things that were passed down to her.
Absolutely. And he went through confirmation in the Presbyterian Church. And listen, if you go through confirmation, you know the Bible.
We're out of time. You did that to me, Tim Fox. Come on, Jeremy, help us here, son.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Papa. Also want to say thank you again to Brother Andrew Womack for allowing us to use his beautiful studio here in Woodland Park, Colorado. Thank you, sir. We bless you and your ministry. You know, it's so important you and I are watching these broadcasts right now because today we got insight into a Donald Trump that is not covered in the media. We heard about his faith through the years, his inclusion of the faith community, and his prayer life behind closed doors. You see, God is using him, a man who is not a politician, to bring America back to her roots and set her on a course for peace and progress and freedom.
Never before in an American presidential election has so much been at stake.
It's not simply a matter of whether we'll have a more liberal or a more conservative government.
It's a matter of remaining America or losing the nation that we know and love in our lifetime.
In Stephen Strang's new book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, discover what's at stake for America and how we can and must start making a difference now. Strang lays out the agenda of the far left to destroy American values and turn her into a godless, socialist state. God's plan for America from the beginning has been to be a beacon of hope to send the gospel out to the nations. Learn why God has raised up Donald Trump for this time to lead our nation back to greatness. learn the facts of what he has already accomplished for America and what we can look forward to with a second term. We must understand the spiritual dimensions surrounding the 2020 election.
It's time to wake up, church.
Shake off complacency and compromise.
Pray and vote.
Understand what's at stake in the 2020 presidential election and how God has used Donald Trump to make a difference in America. Order your copy of Stephen Strang's book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election for only $7.99 at kcm.org/victory offer. Or when you call 877-615-4267. Discover God's purposes for America and be part of making America the great nation He desires her to be.
This week, Brother Copeland and Stephen Strang are talking about the book, God, Trump, and the 2020 election. And there is only so much they can cover each day, so you need to get the book and discover for yourself God's purposes for America from its foundation. And this is a call to every generation. It's time for the church to unite and rise up and take her place. And this book will equip you with facts and information and biblical insight so you can make informed decisions based on the truth. Not an opinion, not just a social media headline. No, you need to let your voice be heard in the 2020 election. Do your part. Pray and vote. Be part of making America the great nation that God has called her to be. To order Stephen Strang's book, go to kcm.org. Now, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have said, one word from God can change your life forever. It's so important to keep the Word of God going into your eyes, going into your ears. Let it get down into your heart and it will come up out of your mouth in faith. Now, what better way to help build your faith with the Word than to watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast? They are free and on demand on kcm.org or on KCM's Roku channel. And let me encourage you, keep growing. Keep growing spiritually. Keep growing in your walk and your fellowship with the Lord. Use these resources that this ministry makes available to you to get the Word of God down into your heart. And like we said, let it come up out of your mouth with boldness. And that's when things begin to change around you. Amen. Praise God. Thanks so much for watching today, everybody. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Go to kcm.org/victory offer to receive free faith-based teaching resources, such as a copy of today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Request it on DVD, CD, or download it straight to your computer or mobile device. Come to the Faith for Our Nation Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, and Terry Copeland Pearsons, November 12th through 14th. For all the information, go to kcm.org.